Let us pray. God, you call us to follow Jesus Christ as his disciples. And so we meet here this morning to learn more about how to do this. Help us as we worship to again understand who Jesus was and who Jesus is. May we learn from the faithful witness of others just what true discipleship looks like. Amen. Good morning. Some of you might recall me relating the story of last year surprising my mother for her 85th birthday by arranging this huge Italian fest with all of her favorite foods and then flying in to St. Louis with most of it in my luggage, and then the family gathering, and then happy birthday is sung, and the last line, I jump in and sing the last line. And there I am, and she turns around and says, what are you doing here? Well, we have this tradition in my family that we usually do something special for my birthday by going somewhere. And this year, for whatever reason, it just was not going to work out. And so Dee and Demery were sitting around saying, well, let us surprise you, which made my mind start thinking, let me surprise them. So I got on the phone and called United Airlines and found out that I could get a frequent flyer ticket and bring Bree home from Amsterdam to surprise them. So text Bree, yes, I can do this. So the whole thing is set up for last Wednesday night. I pick up Bree at Fort Lauderdale Airport. We stop on the way and pick up a pizza. I call Dee and say I got delayed at the church. When I get home, if I don't get home before the pizza does and the doorbell rings, answer the doorbell, pay the guy, and please take the pizza. Sure. The door opens after the doorbell is rung, and there's this person standing to the back of her with a hood on and turns around with the pizza, and there is Bree. Guess what Dee says? What are you doing here? Runs in the family. It's not so much about what we say. It's more about what we do. If there is a theme to the readings today, I think that's what it is. This gospel that we hear today has been used for centuries as an argument, the Roman Church vis-a-vis the Protestant Church vis-a-vis everybody else, about who has the primacy, who's got the better church, because the Roman Catholics would use this particular passage to say, well, Jesus says, Peter, on Peter I will build this church, meaning referring to the man. And so the primacy of the Bishop of Rome becomes what they want to cling to. Whereas the Protestant denominations and just about everybody else says, no, it's not about Peter himself. It's about Peter, the word meaning rock. It's about his faith on which Jesus is going to build the church. Well, we can argue till we're blue in the face about this, and I think it's the wrong thing to argue about. But I think the question in relation to the theme today we really should probably ask is this. Based on the readings that we've heard, the first reading about Moses and the gospel we heard about the confession of Jesus, of Peter as Jesus, the Son of God, if that's all you knew about the characters in those stories, who do you think would be in heaven today? Now, we could say, well, Peter, he acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He's got to be in there. Well, maybe. All he did is say something, though. And we really don't know the inflection of his voice, how he said it. Maybe he was just taking a guess. But then we have all of these characters in that other story. Pharaoh's daughter. The sister. Who connives to make sure that the baby gets back with its mother. I would venture to say that the compassion that took place And those people in the first reading, yeah, they got to be in heaven. They live like Jesus would have us live. And therein lies the whole answer, I think, to all this. We can say all that we want about who Jesus is. And yeah, that is important. But that's not the end all and the be all. What's more important than that is that we live as Jesus calls us to live. I mean, how many of us along the way run into people who are of the fundamentalist wing who want you to say this formula, and you have to say this, you have to acknowledge Jesus in word on your lips, and if you do that, you're saved. And if you don't do that, you're not saved. Well, how many of us have grown up in a Christian denomination where there never was that one little point where that happened? It's been a gradual revelation and understanding of who Jesus is as we strive each day to live with compassion as Jesus would have us live. And that is where the important part comes in here. Are you saved? You betcha you're saved. Jesus saved you 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. But the thing is now, how do I take that grace that I've been given, that Paul talked about, no merit of our own, but the grace that has given us into our hearts an understanding of who Jesus is, how do I take that salvation and bring it onto myself? And I accept that salvation by the way I choose to live with compassion. Remember that parable that Jesus told in another place where there were two sons and the father sends them out and the one says, "Oh, I'll go," and he doesn't go. And then the other one says, I'm not going, but he goes. And then the question is raised, well, which one did the will of the father? Well, if we had to judge between the two, certainly the one who actually went. I mean, the ultimate answer is the one who would say he would go and then actually goes. So too for us who have been given the grace of saying and knowing who Jesus is and then taking that knowledge and putting it into practice by the way we choose to live. That is what really matters. So the important thing for us then is how do we witness that in our lives? You know, we could have this tendency to go out and, do you know Jesus? And strive for this idea of trying to get everybody we can to say some formula. But unless it actually is going to be something that is a part of their heart, it really doesn't matter. Do you think God would have condemned all those people in the Old Testament who lived compassionate lives to hell forever? I don't think so. But to the best of their ability, those that chose to live the way God called them to live are going to be rewarded accordingly. This is a hot topic right now in our world because Rob Bell, if you haven't seen it, on the New York Times bestseller list has written a book. And he's written a book that sort of goes from the premises, how do we handle this? For example, somebody like a Gandhi. Would God condemn Gandhi to hell forever because Jesus wasn't his Lord and Savior? Well, look at the way he lived his life. I cannot imagine a God who would condemn somebody who did and lived the way he lived. Now, we've been given the grace to know who Jesus is. Praise God for that. But in all of Jesus' teaching and in all his life, it never was about him. It was about teaching us a way to live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the whole thing with Jesus was learn that a life of self-sacrificial love is the only way you are going to become all that God wants and enables you to be. If you've been given that gift, and you can pray for that gift for everybody else, but you've been given that gift. Now there's a bit of a responsibility that we have to live it more, but the most important thing is to just live it. Knowing that this example perfectly given by Jesus is the way that the Son of God has taught us is the only way we're going to find perfect peace, joy, and happiness, not only in the life to come, but in this life as well. That's what's important. You look at this particular gospel today, and you know, when Matthew says something, Matthew never throws words out just to throw words out. Everything is there for a reason. And he begins this gospel today by saying, Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, realize the importance of that. This is an area and a city that had a great history of pagan worship. It used to be called the city of Peneus, after the god Pan. If you remember your Greek mythology, it looks like a goat. There was a lot of worship of that god Pan that happened in that area, hence the name of the city. There would be all sorts of orgiastic unions and everything else that they would use somehow because it was supposed to help the god to give them favor there. It becomes a pretty nasty area. Think of the nastiest area you can think of, and that's probably what types of things were going on there. The Caesars come along. The Caesars decide that we are God, so what did they do? Well, they changed the name of the city. It's no longer Peneus, it is now Caesarea Philippi, because Caesar is God. Now, with all of that as a backdrop, add to it the fact that they used to believe that the gods went back and forth from the underworld through a cave. There happens to be a cave there. Guess what the name of the cave is? The Gates of Hades, or the Gates of Hell. Now, with all that backdrop, Jesus brings them there and says to them, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." There's a lot more meaning there. Jesus brings them to the brink of a very ungodly type of a place and chooses to have himself revealed as who he is there. We are sent into the world. There's a comfort here and there's a challenge. The challenge is we are sent into a world where there is a lot of ungodly things going on. How are we supposed to witness to Jesus Christ there? By living a life of self-sacrificial love in such a way that just maybe people are going to look at us and say, "They got something I don't. Maybe I want to live that way too." That becomes a challenge for us because it's not easy. I don't want to discount that. I think today it is harder than ever. In an instant, you can be on the web and doing things that are not things that anyone, I think, would consider to be Christian. You can be out in the world and in a heartbeat, you can be doing something in school or in your business or on the road that are certainly not safe, let alone un-Christian. It's not easy. But the comfort is this. When Jesus does this here at Caesarea Philippi, in this really ungodly area, I think maybe he's saying, when you're there, I'm there too. When all else around you is failing, I will be there with you to be your strength. It's not so much about getting others to say who Jesus is on their lips. It's about us showing who Jesus is by the way we choose to live. May we continue to do that. Amen.